Oh, well, I'm aware that I am between everyone and lunch today, so I shall make sure I do keep this to time. After hearing the talks this morning, I thought I'd really concentrate on the new opportunities of ways to interact and navigate and kind of discover content in the mobile world. Okay, just an introduction to myself. My name's Will Russell. I'm the Manager of Innovation and Product Development at the Royal Society of Chemistry. So my main day job is really looking after our publishing platform. In terms of who the RSC are, we've been around since 1841. We're a membership organisation, got about just shy of 48,000 members. Publishing operation spanning the globe. 92% of the kind of journal sales are external to the UK. And we're also the second biggest publisher of chemistry books, which kind of makes us relevant for today. Coming up, I really want to talk about RSC's involvement in mobile and why we're involved, and then focus on the different interfaces and opportunities in the mobile world and how they could possibly relate to books. In terms of mobile timeline, I've been playing about with mobile since about 2010. That was when our first mobile app went out, also our first kind of mobile optimised web experiences on our platforms. And our view now is really to go device independent, so rather than focusing on any particular mobile tablet size, how can we be accessible across all devices? I'll jump a couple of slides to keep the time step, make sure. Why mobile? Our Google Analytics were telling us that people were accessing our site on mobile. I think in 2010 it was about 32,000 views a month on mobile, and there's loads of stats going around. I think 350 million active users of Facebook mobile at the time. I think it's sort of 750 million or something now. So people were using the new technologies. Obviously, we want to provide the best possible service to our authors and readers, and they were asking for these technologies. Things like ebook readers are mainstream. I came down on the train from Cambridge this morning. There was quite a few people, including myself, sat there with a Kindle. And also in the new world, we're almost dual connected at all times. This is a picture from the Mark Logic conference last year in Washington. I just snapped it on my phone, and you see most people are actually listening to the chap on stage whilst kind of using their device as well to interact with other people. And that's quite commonplace, but it isn't just sort of at tech conferences. You can be in the middle of a field at a music event. I took another snap there, and most people are still interacting with the world on the mobile devices at the same time as watching the band. So everyone is kind of constantly connected to the web, and it's a dual information source. There's also some of the stats you might have seen recently. A fifth of young adults said they'd rather starve for 24 hours than give up the mobile. I think there's another stat that the teenagers would rather not shower for a week than be without their mobile as well. So it's obviously kind of the new world and what people are doing. I also think it's very fair to say the future is multi-device. When we went online in the mid-90s for our first kind of web presence, we designed for a kind of a single screen. It was very easy. Now the number of devices coming up can be anything from a small smartphone to a tablet to a massive screen to what Google might do with Google Glass going forward. But what are we actually doing? I just thought I'd go around some of the kind of mobile things that we're trying out at the moment and how we're using the different interfaces on the mobile to do things. So starting off hopefully with a fun one, this is Elements of Nutrition, which is a game that's just about to be released. And the idea here is that you have to collect various vitamins and things, and food items like chips or cereals or cans of pop will fall down. And you have to use the altimeter on the device to move the trolley backwards and forwards. So although this is a game, is there an opportunity to build this sort of technology into books going forward by using that altimeter to actually move things around by the position of the device? That was done native development actually on the device. We worked with an external company to do that, and I say very willing members of staff when they knew we were going to do something like that. A lot of people came forward very willingly to be involved. On the other end of the spectrum, something called Chem Goggles, which is still in alpha beta, we're still kind of developing it. The idea here is, could you kind of discover information about elements by taking a picture, or not elements, structures, by taking a picture of the structure? So this is maybe the final vision. For now, it's more a case of taking a picture of a structure on your mobile device. It would recognise the structure, say, yes, I think it's this, and then it could take you across to information about that structure. We've got a big database of information ChemSpider with loads of structural information on it, so it could recognise the structure there from the graphic and take you across to the ChemSpider information. I'll tell you, this is still an alpha beta. It's not working perfectly yet, so we haven't properly launched it. It's using OSRA, Optical Structure Recognition Algorithm, with a built-in camera functionality of the device. While we're doing it, we just thought this would be quite a cool thing to do and play with and see what happened. Moving forward, could it be that we actually get users to create that data? So they take pictures of structures, and if it recognises it well, they, I don't know, like it or something, to actually hopefully build up the big kind of a back end of being able to do this accurately. This is another app. This hasn't been developed yet, and the girl involved said I could actually show some pictures of the kind of concept today. Places of chemistry. Whereas you might have a tour book forward listing places of interest, could we do this as an app? So you're walking around somewhere and it uses the geo sensor on the actual device to bring back places around you that have done something historically significant in chemistry and pulling that data from the web, potentially. So this is that's still in kind of conceptual stage at the moment. NPU alerts is another one. This is live now. We've got a database, Snapshot Product Updates, which is an abstracting journal or database, and it lists all the latest natural products. Now, we could just list the natural products by their name, but the names probably don't mean too much to the scientists looking at them. So what we did in the app, we decided we wouldn't display any names, but using the data, we can actually extract a picture of the structure and display people loads of pictures of the latest structures that have been found. So people can then navigate that, see the structure they think might be interested, click on that, and if they have access to the database, at that point they go through to, they could get through to the abstract, or they could get through to the information on that structure via ChemSpider. I'm going to go slightly back in time now. This is our first ever mobile app we did. This is kind of late 2009, and this was Chemistry World. At the time, I thought it'd be really good to have a mobile app, but it was going to cost a fair bit to develop them. So I looked around and found some of the online builders. One of them was called Sweb Apps. And for $39 a month, which seemed very cheap, I could build a mobile app in an interface and then launch it on the iStore. So the time it took me to build this app was probably about 2 hours. That said, after I built it, the design team got involved and then spent about a day putting a nice design in it because my graphics were quite poor. But the different kind of opportunity this opened up, as well as having lists of all the latest Chemistry World news, you could also listen to podcasts of all the elements, because we had a podcast for every element that was fed out via RSS. So I was able to put that RSS feed into the app, and then you could put your headphones onto your mobile device and listen to kind of a 5-minute broadcast on any of the elements from the periodic table. So it's kind of utilising another interface. Chemistry World also has a traditional magazine kind of reading mobile app as well, and this is really to get closer to the audience. What was interesting about this is on a tablet it looked very much like your traditional page turner when you move the pages across and you can view it, but I took these pictures on kind of an entry-level Android, a very small Samsung Galaxy, and it's the Galaxy Fit with a very small screen, and you could really kind of rearrange the content to make it available for use on a very small screen where you couldn't navigate from left to right or worry about huge pictures. Actually, that was all developed by the Page Turning magazine company. ChemSpider. If you're not aware of ChemSpider, it's a free structural search engine where you can type in the name of any chemical structure, well, most chemical structures, and get information back on it. They wanted to look for a mobile app as well. This was done by a chap called Alex Clark, who'd actually built something very similar to what we wanted to do already, and we built a kind of our product, or collaborated with him to build our product into what he's doing. How this looks is you can actually draw a chemical structure using the drawing tool on the screen. So if you draw it, it looks like this, and at that point, go and search it. So rather than taking a picture of one or having to take a picture of one, you can actually draw one, and if it looked like this, where would it go through to and get information back on it? Some more screenshots. So I kind of thought, making it relevant to books, there's all these new kind of interfaces that we could use to make books more exciting going forward with geo, automata, audio in, audio out, and things. And I think these probably open up loads of new opportunities moving forward. It kind of really touches on the Lorraine's presentation, the first one, not thinking about books in the traditional way that we think about books. Also, we've done RC Mobile, and this is really to push our publishing content out to readers via mobile app as well. We had a mobile website. The traditional mobile website is delivered in a more optimised way than a traditional PC screen. But the mobile apps work slightly differently. You could actually select, yeah, I'm interested in these journals, turn on the device, and instantly you get the latest feeds. The latest articles will come to you from those journals. What could you do differently to a traditional mobile website on the mobile app? I think one of the big challenges for all publishers is authentication in the mobile world. And this is still authenticated via the wireless networks at institutions, people to get full access to the full content. But you can use the app for free, and you can search all the content, and you can download the abstract to your device, and you can download the full paper to your device when you're on site to read it off-site. But if you find something you're interested in that you haven't got access to, you can download the abstract and then go to re-download it later once you're with an authenticated wireless network. I mentioned follow journals there. You get lists of all our journals. You can choose which ones to follow to get the latest streams from. We've also used the same search technology we use on our main publishing platform, which is a technology called MarkLogic. And this really does bring all the data together, so you can cross-search all of our ebook chapters with all of our journals content at the same time. So hopefully, that's still journals. Hopefully I've got a book slide. Yes, this is you can also browse our books on the mobile app. So if you've got access, you can browse through all the books and read chapters, as well as discovering them in the same way that you discover journal content. It almost doesn't matter in this world if it's a journal article or a book chapter. And this is how it could look once you're actually in there and you're saving a chapter and then you go through to read it. I haven't got a picture of a chapter, unfortunately. A challenge we had when we built this, because we didn't want to build it natively for iOS because we wanted to make sure we work on multiple platforms, so we actually built a hybrid. We've got it's almost like built natively on the device, but most of it is a website and a wrapper around it. So apart from the functionality that is native to the device, say the saved articles, it was all written in a way that we could then deliver it on Android very quickly afterwards. And it also means that we can potentially test it faster than we would if it was a completely native app. Which developing native apps in the Android world is quite challenging due to the different versions of Android and the number of devices that run Android. Obviously, the things that we're kind of under constant review at the RSC, making sure design is responsive, progressive, and adaptive to the mobile world. What new devices are going to come out there? Ebook readers, formats such as EPUB 3, HTML5. But ultimately, I come from a technical background. I keep having sometimes to be held back because I'm very interested in new tech, but it's really customer needs have to come ahead of technologies all the time. Also APIs, opening up as much of our content via APIs so that other people can do clever things with it. I guess in the new mobile world, the people who do the most clever things probably won't be us, they're going to be other people developing on top of our content. Challenges are, I mentioned some of those. I'd also say analytics are great, but sometimes you can be aware of the rogue analytic. And this is one I had to grab because we had a comment that no one actually uses our site on BlackBerry. So we shouldn't really worry too much about BlackBerry until we tried our site on BlackBerry and we got this error message. So sometimes analytics say nobody's using your site can be slightly misleading if perhaps people can't actually use your site. So just as a summary, different interfaces do open up new opportunities. Things like geotagging the autometer, camera, sound, being able to extract images and other content from data, allowing people to draw on the device, different screen sizes, and how you actually can use linked data as well to really let people navigate around the content and discover in different ways. I'll also mention, if you're interested in science, this isn't a site that I've created, but there's a really good wiki out there, Science Mobile Apps, where it lists loads of mobile apps for scientific applications. It's scimobileapps.com, I think it's well worth a look. And please note at that point, I'll say thank you. Thank you.
our lunch this morning. Well, thank you, Will, and if we could just, in the normal way, say thank you to all our presenters this morning. We shall be starting at 2 o'clock, so please be back in time. So, to all our presenters, many thanks.